Hello, lovely humans. I'm Wyo Lee, and you are listening to a very professional episode of Sex Stories, a podcast where we talk about how to make the world a sexier, more loving place. Our guest today, you should already know if you are a longtime listener. He is a comedian, a slut, my very first sex podcaster friend, and the person who pointed out to me that I was already a sex worker. Welcome, Billy Precida.
I'm sorry, I did what now?
I don't know if you remember this. This is a big part of my formative experience. One of the last times we talked, I think it was when I was on your show, you were like, will you sell nudes on OnlyFans? And I was like, yeah. And you were like, doesn't that count as sex work? And I was like, does it? And you were like, are you making money off of it and turning people on? And I was like, good point. But up until that point, I had sort of just conceived of it as like, oh, I don't know, I'm just being naked. So it was in that conversation that I was like, oh, well, then why am I not doing more?
Yeah, you know, if you're getting paid for sexual services, there are some who would say that technically makes you a sex worker. I guess that makes us sex. I don't know. It's not really part of my identity, but like if that helped you, that experience, then like mazel, like keep going with it.
Well, so here's what it did for me. It just sort of pinged me into a long exploration of like, what does count as sex work? And that's what we're still kind of here to talk about today. So how about for people who don't know you, tell us a little bit about your work, what it looks like right now. How are you making the world a sexier, more loving place? Is it your full-time job? Like, give us a Billy story.
I mean, I don't know if I'm making the world a better place or anything, but I do talk about my dick for a living. I don't know if that helps, but
probably
not
someone.
You know, it depends on your tastes and preferences. Yeah. Like someone thinks my dick is sexy. That's great. Big fan of that. But yeah, so I actually next month will be 9 years of me hosting the Man Whore podcast, a series of sex positive conversations. Wyo has been a guest back in the day, quite a few years back. Yeah, you know, I do that. I've also been a stand-up comedian for a long time. I have now been also writing lately. I've been doing some freelance writing for Mashable.com. I've done some articles about, you know, sex parties and OnlyFans and stuff like that. I just finished the editing process on how to throw a gangbang. So you can probably expect to see that somewhere on Mashable by the time this is out. Yeah. And oh, yeah. And I have an OnlyFans. If you really want to like see my dick or like watch me put stuff in my butt, or you want like a fake boyfriend to sext for an evening, I am there and you can compensate me for such services.
I love that. And I would say all of those things, especially teaching people how to throw gangbangs, is definitely making the world a sexier, more loving place. Like it's got to be. That's hot as fuck.
Yeah, I do consultations for fantasy fulfillment. If you and your husband or someone need to like figure out how to throw one, you can hire me. We'll talk on the phone for a while. I'll coach you through it.
That is what we do. Great. Okay, so when you're out in the world, when you're meeting people and or people from your sphere, like do you ever get weird reactions when people learn about what you do? Or is it pretty like, oh yeah, everyone has an OnlyFans now? Like, do you have any fun stories about how people respond when you're like, here's what I do?
Well, it depends on what the sensibilities are, right? I mean, this goes with anything. If you feel weird about sex, well, when sex comes up in a conversation, you're going to feel weird, right? If sex is nonchalant and totally normal and whatever to you, then there's a better chance you're going to shrug your shoulders and be like, oh, cool. That's great. I'm an accountant, right? Like, because it just depends on what your personal attitudes are towards sex. You know, the OnlyFans is interesting because it's kind of like there are a lot of people, even the people who think OnlyFans is evil, right, or bad, or they think like women shouldn't be on OnlyFans, blah, any of that. You know, they'll say, ah, OnlyFans, like you slut, how dare you? But if I tell them I do OnlyFans, they go, hey, if you can get someone to pay for that, good for you. You know, really? There's a little bit of a hint of like, if you're a dumpy looking dude and you can get paid for nudes, like, God bless you. You know?
Wow. Okay. Do you think you're dumpy looking?
You haven't seen me dress on my day to day. I like dress in a dumpy fashion.
Okay.
Like I'm a very big jeans and t-shirt guy. It depends on if I happen to own a jeans that fit my butt properly. I think that determines whether or not I look dumpy that day.
Okay. So you also said you don't necessarily identify with the word sex worker, but like, how do you describe yourself to a new person when you meet them? Like, are you like, I do this and this and this, or do you like tease it out like a little delicious drops of discovery?
Depends on the setting, but usually if someone says, what do you do for a living? I say, I talk about my dick. And then depending on the reaction, like I can give them more information, no more information, really whatever's going to be funniest or helpful in a moment. That's usually what drives most of my decisions is, am I going to get somebody to laugh or am I going to help somebody? Those are really my two driving factors.
I love that. Okay, so that gives us good framework for your origin story for everything that you do. So you want to make people laugh. You want to make it funny. How did that evolve into this whole like sexy Billy life that you lead? What's your professional origin story?
So like I've been doing stand-up since the end of 2008, my sophomore year of college. And then in 2014, I launched the podcast talking to my exes about why we didn't work out. And I started doing that every week. And that just, the show found some fans and it evolved and I kept doing it. And so I started to branch out. I started to invite on sex educators, and porn stars, queer performers, dating experts, feminist authors. And then I started to expand even more. Now I'm at the place where I don't even want experts anymore. I'm like, it's been almost 500 episodes. We've probably covered it.
Yeah.
Now I just want experiences. I want stories. Like I'd way rather have on like a polyamorous athlete or like a kinky rapper than, you know, the next instructional sex book.
Totally. Totally. So it sounds like sex was kind of always baked in, or like when you were starting out stand up way back in the day, like, did you include themes of sex or was that only once man whore got started?
Have you ever seen a man do stand up? Like it's the half the bit is about jerking off, right? I thought that was the stereotype.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, I talk about sex. I talk about dating. I talk about my life, and I just have always had like a sexually adventurous lifestyle. So I've just always had interesting things to talk about in regards to sex on stage. My barrier sometimes would be, I think going to a gangbang is super normal. And the joke is about something that happened at the gangbang. It's not the gangbang itself. But a lot of people, they hear gangbang, they think I'm kidding. And I'm like, oh, no, that's real, but that's not the funny part. And they're just hung up on like, gangbangs exist?
Right.
I also don't remember what we talked about the last time I was on your show, but, you know, yeah, I've had a nice slutty existence, we'll say.
We did not talk about gangbangs enough. I would love to get into those specifics. But before we do, I want to know, is there at this point in your slutty career a slutty thing that you hope to achieve for work, through work, in your work that you have not yet gotten to?
You know, something I'm planning right now is a special episode. I want to plan. So episode 180 is called The Oral Sex Auditions. And it was, I had a friend who was very sexually frustrated about men who didn't eat pussy, or they bragged about it and then didn't do it a lot, or they like said they were really good and they were terrible. So I said, let's hold auditions. She was like, Billy, could you like refer me to a friend? I'd be like, I mean, I could find five strangers to lick your box and see if any of them are good at it. And we did that as a podcast episode. So I had five dudes show up at their appointment times for their auditions. We did like a pregame interview, right? Then I would send them in. They had 12 minutes to make a first impression with my friend using tongues and fingers only. Penis stays in the pants.
Okay.
Can't even take their dicks out, right? And then I'd come, you know, open the door, be like, all right, get on back in here. And I'd be like, hey, Roxanne, that's your twat. And then I got to take him back. And then we would do like a post-game interview. And he'd be like sweaty like LeBron at the end of the third quarter. And then he'd leave. And then she would come out and she'd get on the mic and tell us like how it really went. And we did that for like all five guys.
Amazing.
To like find her a match. So now I want to do the reverse of that in a way. I want to find five women to like take turns laying down and letting me go down on them. And then I would have a friend of mine be like a guest host. She'll do the pregame, postgame interviews. And then basically we're going to find out, is this man whore podcast guy a fraud or is he actually good at eating pussy? I don't know the answer. Honestly, I think it'll be funniest if I'm bad.
Well, I don't know if it's a good bad, but I fucking love that idea because, like, I think it'll be really interesting to have the contrast.
I mean, I think it's funny. It's like from an entertainment perspective, like, you know, because then it's just I've got people like shitting on my sexual abilities, and I'll put myself in that position for comedy, or I impress some people, and now I have like some new sex partners.
Oh yeah, and or it's a chance to open up communication, show people examples of how to like ask for what you actually want. That's hot as fuck.
Yeah.
I love that.
I'm still trying to pick which friend to have guest host. I won't know what they say on mic about me until like I am editing, right? So like I have to like trust someone to be that guest host because I, you know, a week or two later I might finally sit down to like go and edit and I'll be like, "Wait, excuse you? What now? Wait, I'm sorry, wait, you faked it? my world is rocked or something like that. I don't know. Wow. Or I'll hear a lot of really nice compliments. I don't know. That's one I really want to do. I also want to do this fun one where, I mean, I would really love to interview an entire orgy.
Yes.
Like as the orgy. Like I want to go around with a mic, probably like porn stars shooting an orgy scene, but like I want to go around and interview you while you're engaged in activity.
Love that.
I think that'd be fun.
I mean, it would be distracting, but I totally have those same fantasies.
Right. It's supposed to be distracting because like that's where we get conflict in comedy from is like you're distracted because like, you know, someone is fucking you in the ass. But like I'm asking you, like, what moments in your life led you to this moment?
Oh, that kind of interview. OK, not the like, what does it feel like right now? Describe it. OK, you're like going back. That's hilarious. Those are great hashtag career goals. Would you tell us a little bit, just switching gears slightly, like as you look back over all of, like you've had so many experiences with so many professionals and so many just people in general and grown so much in your own personal life, what have you noticed? What have you learned about the social and cultural norms that has either like surprised you or that you were like, yep, nope, that's the world. Like, what do you notice about people and sex?
Again, it depends on the population within which we're talking. Because if I'm talking to people who are also in a sex-positive, informed lifestyle, it's a lot different. But with, like, your mainstream, everyday person, I'm always so shocked, like, how much people will try to say what they want by saying other things instead of saying what they want. Or won't say what they don't want for all sorts of weird reasons that, at the end of the day, it leaves them without what they want or, like, in pain. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been with people who... I've had someone be like, oh, you've actually been hurting me during sex, but they won't say anything during the sex. I'm like, oh, no. And then I'll be like, well, can you please tell me in the moment? And they say, oh, well, I don't want to. I'm like, then I don't know if I can have sex with you. Because like, I don't want to be having sex with someone I might be hurting and I won't know until like afterwards. That's not fun for me.
No wonder you have no idea if you're good at going down on people.
I mean, I have a pretty decent idea. But if I'm wrong, it would be hilarious. Mm, that's my idea. Either the whole episode will be me bragging or it will be a stunning revelation of humility.
Mm. What if it's just a deep dive, like exploration on how like different pussies react differently to your touch and tongue? Because that's like, you know, that's so cool. You're going to have five completely different people and you're doing, well, I don't know. Do you do the same moves vagina to vagina or do you get like on a pussy? Do you get inspired by the lips? Like... Or do you have like, the same things? Like, how does it work for you?
This really looks like a sucking type of labia. Right? Yeah, no, I don't know. I think it depends on what I'm in front of. And it depends on like what I know about this person, what sort of nonverbal reactions I'm getting, involuntary physical reactions I get, things like the type of breathing they do. Do they get that little like muscle spasm in their hamstring when it's like really good and they want to hide it, but they can't? There's a lot of factors, but I just go with it. I don't know if that episode would be like a technique-based thing. It would just simply be like, it would rely on the strength of my guest co-host. I don't know how much I would talk during this episode.
Yeah, well, your mouth's going to be busy. Okay, so back to what you've noticed social norms-wise, it sounds like you've noticed that there are some people in the normie world, shall we say, that maybe aren't as communicative as one might hope for a transcendent sexual experience. But what about in the land of sex positivity? Like, in these places, you know, you're hanging out at Hacienda, you're doing naked stand-up. Like, you must be meeting some cool people.
Yeah. You know, here, instead of maybe like a broad general thing, I'll just give you like a pet peeve of mine I find in the space. Like, if you're at a sex party, keep your vanilla conversation to like another space. Go outside. If there's a backyard, that's where you should talk about how difficult it was to pick your kids up from Hebrew school. I don't need to hear about that. All right. I'm trying to get head right now. I have literally been in like a little fivesome puddle of people trying to start the orgy up. And 10 feet away, we can hear this woman telling this little group about like how her brother just got out of rehab and he's been having a tough time. And I'm like, go upstairs.
Yeah.
Not the place. This is an orgy. Or at least it's trying to be.
Yeah, right? Like, who's in charge of the rules of those orgies? Because the sex parties I've been to, there has not been like a person in charge being like, okay, you're not going to talk about stupid shit. You are going to talk about this important stuff. Like, do they set up frames really clearly or am I just very picky?
I think it just depends on the party you go to. I did write a piece for Mashable a couple months ago called like a beginner's guide to sex parties. You can go on Mashable, find that. And in there I do talk about it depends on the party you're going to, whether it's a small soiree among friends in someone's living room or hotel room, if it's like a club environment, if it's more of a like community play space like Hacienda tends to be, the place I go to. So the party I go to, if you're new to the party, if it's your first time, you have to go to this pre-party consent speech workshop thing. Sometimes people who've been there already go because like they're bringing a date, right? And it's their first time, but everybody has to have sat through this. And what's great is you are watching everyone else also watch this thing. So you know everyone's on the same page because you all just watched each other hear the same words. And they do a pretty good job being detailed. So they go through, this is also a big party, 150, 200 people. So you have to have like some rules laid out. And they're going through like, you know, the space and where you can do what and where and consent. It's actually been interesting to watch this speech evolve over the years because I've been going to this party for like 8 years. So I've just watched this speech evolve. And they've actually really tried their best to address that gray area stuff or stuff that like neurodivergent people just might not understand. Things that like, people we might call creepy who might just like not understand social dynamics or maybe people whose empathy brains are not turned on to think about how others are perceiving their behaviors, stuff like that. So for example, like last year, they finally started saying, addressing the like conversation that happens in the basement, because the basement is like the main play area. It's a big basement, but gosh, sometimes you would just hear somebody talk about really unsexy, like work stuff. They're just like talking about work and it's like, cool. But like, you could go upstairs, you can go to the backyard, you can go to like this area here, like all that belongs anywhere else, yeah, but this basement, because like you're killing the vibe with whatever you're discussing, right? And it was cool. I was like, oh, thank you so much. It's a pet peeve of mine. Or like another one would be watching, voyeurism. Well, it's not that you can't watch. It's how you watch. It's how you approach it, right? Yeah. So they've been addressing the idea of like, they've been getting more explicit about how. Normally they would say, if you want to watch people like up close, ask. Mm. But now they're starting to address like leering in a way that's more specific. So it's like, if you don't have permission to watch some people, please try to watch from like across the room or like more than 10 feet away. I think we want people to just get certain stuff. But like, look, I've been socially awkward my entire life. Does that mean I'm on the spectrum or I just missed that day at school where like they explained how the social rules work? I don't know. The point is, I have probably been creepy or untoward or impolite at times when I just did not know what the rules were for these interactions. So first, it's just like, yes, you can watch, but just don't be creepy. Okay, that helps maybe a few people, but there's a lot of people that doesn't help. Okay, but I don't know how to not be this word that is subjective.
Yeah.
So then they start being like, don't watch right up close to somebody, staring at them if you haven't like asked, hey, you guys are like really hot. Do you mind if I watch? Okay, but now we've talked about up close. What is up close? Okay, so now they've even started. So now they're at the point where they're saying stuff like, you know, if you haven't cleared with the people that you're going to be staring at because you think they're really hot, which is okay, try to be more than 10 feet away. Now we have some like measurable guidance that it's not about setting up rules as much as like some people need help on, well, what is that subjective word you're using? When you say don't be creepy, that doesn't help anybody. What are you talking about? Use more words. Yeah. Some people may hear that and think like, you should just get it, or you're probably creepy if you don't know how to not be creepy. And I'll say, I don't know. You ever hang out with people who are like super on the spectrum? Like just hold some space that people don't know what the fuck's going on.
Totally.
Make it a little easier to know what you mean. So at this pre-workshop, they lay out a lot of stuff like that. And they could, so they're covering consent, they're covering sexual health, they're covering the space, they're covering, you know, if you're a squirter, put a wee-wee pad down. We have them available here, here, and here.
Yeah.
All that type of stuff.
Love that. Yeah. I also have just noticed that like people on the spectrum tend to be like hyper-specific with language and are very kinky. Like in the kinky world, the more that I get into kink, the more I'm like, you and you and you all. Oh, so many of us.
I think the spectrum folks love things like polyamory and kink because there's so many rules in poly and kink, right?
And it's normal to check in about what the rule is and make a new rule for each person.
Absolutely. I think there's a reason a lot of that, there's a lot of attraction to these lifestyles because of all these rules and the propensity for board games, you know?
Yeah, depending on which circles you run in. Totally. Okay, on the note of cultural norms and things, what else would you like to shift? It sounds like Hacienda is doing a great job of, like, you know, creating these clear frameworks. What else in your work as a sexual being out in the world, whether it's like naked comedy, whatever, like if Billy had a magic wand, what would we be shifting about sex, broadly speaking, right now in our culture?
I don't know if I want to shift anything. I don't think I want that to be my job. I just want people to laugh. You know, it's like I think I'm done trying to like make a big point. I think I want to start being more funny than right. So, you know, if you're like, well, what would you shift if you had a magic wand? I'd be like, more people being interested in me. How's that?
That's great.
Be like, I would love for like everyone to want to lick my ass. That's probably a shift. But like on their own, but like enthusiastically, everyone just now really wants to do that. That sounds great.
Say that you like rubbed a lamp and a genie came out and that was your wish. And like now you're in a world where like several times a day, someone's going to come up to you like with a dental dam or a pair of laurels and be like, excuse me, Billy, could I lick your ass? How many times a day do you think you would like enjoy it? Just on average.
I think it's going to depend on what my diet was the preceding 6 to 18 hours. My entire comfort level with butt stuff depends on like, well, does it feel like there's a lot of poo in my butt right now? That completely determines it.
Okay. On the low end, 0. On the high end, say it's a great butt day. 50? Like 30? What do you think?
No, that gets in the way of a day. You can't get anything done.
True. Good point. Okay. So like
unless I'm
going to
have one of those like really cool seats, like one of those like office chairs with like a space in the middle and someone could just like, look, if you just want to like cycle through underneath the chair while I work, you want to lick, we could probably make that work. I've edited podcast episodes while getting blowjobs. So I feel like rim jobs, we can swap that out.
Okay. I haven't done that yet.
Head is a lot easier.
Maybe you just need a special throne.
You do need a special throne. That's why I'm saying that like I don't need a special throne to get a BJ while I edit the podcast. You know what I mean?
Fair point. All right. Well, maybe that'll come true. We'll build Billy a butt-licking throne and see what happens.
Yeah, but with my luck, it's going to be like some guy in Idaho who's really good with like, you know, carpentry. And I'll be like, man, I appreciate the enthusiasm and the craftsmanship, but like, you're not for me. So I'm sorry to disappoint.
Well, maybe not for you in a whole general life way, but last time I checked, you weren't monogamous, right? You could just like love him.
No, I'm not monogamous. I'm just not into men, let alone men from Idaho into carpentry.
Wait, so does that mean that you have not received ass licking from a dude? Like, are you so straight that you don't explore? For some reason, I thought you're more exploratory. I don't know.
I'm not into men. I can't seem to get into it when okay. I look at you and I go like, oh, there's reasons why, like a lot, sometimes the reasons I'm worried a chick's not into me or isn't into something, it's because like, well, I wouldn't be into it.
Got it.
So okay. Yeah, I'm not incredibly exploratory with the dude folk. In the circles in which I run, being a straight man is a detriment to my prospects.
Got it. You don't get invited everywhere.
In the regular general world, I'm still holding like the straight flush of privilege cards.
Sure.
But like in my space, in the sex world, being this is not as attractive as if, like, if I wanted to fuck your boyfriend in the ass, like that makes me more attractive in the small circles we run in.
I hear you. Okay. Well, also you're running in a lot of
in
like polyqueer.
Specifically.
Yeah, exactly. This I think segues perfectly into your gangbang experience and my next question about like, you know, how your experience with all of your sexy work has influenced your personal life. Like in a gangbang, you're around a lot of other cocks, I would imagine, right? And I know you're not fucking those people, but like that is something that I have met a lot of guys that are not up for. And it's, you know, so that's like another kind of like tier. Whereas like if a straight dude can be around other cocks, that's pretty fucking cool. Was that an evolution for you?
No, I did that math in college because I went to college at NYU. I lived in New York City in my college years. I mean, my whole adult life, but, you know, we had a very active Craigslist scene.
Yeah.
And starting sophomore year, when I got out of my freshman year relationship, I started being around Craigslist more. And there were a lot of posts that were like MW for M or MW for MM or W for MM. And I realized, and a lot of the W for M ads are actually just sex workers or scam bots. Oh. It's not a complaint. That's just a reality. That's a very real just description of the landscape. There were not a lot of like actual single women on Craigslist looking to X, Y, or Z. So I did the math. I was like, oh, if I'm comfortable with like another dick in my proximity, I can increase the number of posts I can respond to and therefore increase the likelihood I can get my dick sucked. So, you know, part of me was like, okay, Billy, there will be other dicks at this event. Grow up. It's fine. Cause so when guys go like, oh man, isn't that a little queer that there's dicks near your dick? And I'll be like, I don't know. I'm a little distracted by the chicks blowing me to really care about the dicks in my proximity. You know, you don't have to be comfortable with this dude, but I will laugh at the guys who are obsessed with like the potential gayness of that experience. Yeah. So it's just like, I don't know if it makes me like a little more gay that like my dick has been in a mouth with two other dicks, then fine. I guess I'm a little more gayer than you, Brad. But like, I am really into this woman in front of me. So whatever.
Amazing.
I'm not one of these like super straight guys on TikTok. I hear that. Have you heard about this? There's like a hashtag like super straight. And they're like super straight. Like they're so straight. They're not attracted to trans women and they're not going to have group sex where there's another dude around. And I'm just like, okay, man, that just sounds really unfuckable to me. But like, go with God. Best of luck.
Sure.
My way's been working pretty well for the last 15 years.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
I also wonder how many of your listeners I've turned off because they were like, I was kind of on board until this whole like he's straight thing.
I don't know. I think I have a lot of, well, I don't know. Listeners, who the fuck are you? Tell me. I think I have a lot of queer people, a lot of straight people. I have a lot of dude listeners too. I feel like I speak to a lot of people. Yeah, but
I think a lot of your dude listeners also are like partially here because they are very turned on hearing a wonderful, beautiful person like yourself talking about sex.
I don't know. Well, here's what I hear a lot of. Yeah, I'm straight, but like, I would definitely let another man blow me, or like, I would definitely fuck another man, or, but I'm definitely, you know, I feel like I have a lot of open-minded, heteroflexible listeners.
Okay, that I don't understand.
No, it's just heteroflexibility, and I know a lot of people. That. Billy, I associate you with stranger sex and glory holes also. Like, those are the things that stuck in my mind from our early conversations, and so I'm like, well, if it was like real stranger sex and he were blindfolded, would he even know? Especially if it was on the other side of a glory hole, if there was no beard, if it was a soft face, I don't know, you know?
To me, sexual orientation has to do with attraction, right? And I'm not an expert. I am just a dumb comedian with a fuck show. Whatever the academics and like experts figure out. Thank you. I like being dumb. I just want to be a dumb, good boy. Whatever the experts figure out at the end of all this, like debating about these like terms and labels and all, I will ascribe to whatever it is. I'm not attached to my label as much as I think the jury is out. I think a lot of stuff is being redefined. However, my understanding is that sexual orientation has a large part to do with your attraction, whether it's attraction to genitalia or attracted to a gender or gender presentation. Maybe that's all up for debate, but it's about attraction. You put your dick in a glory hole. I don't think that changes an attraction. That is like a most base level of insert to come. However, the glory holes I have participated in have been with women, I think one or two trans women. Yeah, it's like, because either like I've met them or I arranged them. It's just all been in that way. But I'm always open to the reality beforehand that like maybe a dude is like, quote unquote, tricking me and showing up. And I have to accept that if I'm going to hang a curtain in my apartment during COVID.
Yeah, yeah.
But I also have gotten various confirmations during or after to know that who I invited over is who I invited over.
Totally.
Even though I don't necessarily know what they look like beforehand. So I had a glory hole during COVID. Did we talk about this last time?
Yes, I remember
this. So I won't do the full rehash, but if you haven't heard my old episode of Sex Stories, I had a glory hole during COVID because the government told me to do it and I am a bootlicker. So I hung a glory hole and I put up a post. So like the second person who came over, she like is on her knees, but she asks like, can we kiss? And that's not what I wanted to do, but whatever. She like put her tit up to the hole and she wanted me to like suck on her tits. She had nice big titties. And so she like wanted me to suck on her tits. So I did that a bit. Right?
You did not tell us about the titty glory hole. That's hot.
I was a little annoyed by her a little bit, but it was fine. She started because she was trying to change the script in the moment.
That's like a negotiating up.
Yeah. It's like, tell me before, like, hey, do you think like maybe like you would reach under and like stroke my pussy a little bit? I could say yes to that, but like, I don't want to be sprung with it, especially during the high stress times COVID was. Or like another time I had a lesbian who showed up. She said when we were chatting, she's like, I'm a lesbian. I'm a gold star, but I figure I should try sucking a dick just to make sure. But I want to remove the man element. is that okay? I said, sure. And like, yeah, I know it was a lesbian, because let me tell you, I've never heard someone spit harder and louder after getting cummed in the mouth than oh, wow. this woman. Like, I really confirmed for her, not for me, you know?
Okay.
And I'm glad I could help out with that.
That's very nice of you.
Yeah. You know, I'm very benevolent boner over here.
Fuck yeah.
So sometimes people would like roll their eyes and be like, they were probably all men. And I'm like, whatever you want to believe, dude. I think until you know there's a guy on the other side and then you are attracted to that reality, I just don't see the sexual orientation playing a role in it. It's not too different than if you said, here's a box. There's not even a person involved, but if you put your dick in this box, after 2 to 7 minutes, you are going to come. Like, I put it in that category.
Sure. Yeah. So what I'm hearing is you don't identify as heteroflexible, like you are straight. And that is just like the term.
Whatever that means anymore.
Right. Well, it. I mean, the stuff that I've read most recently says that it means someone like knows that they're attracted to femme women and they're open to other things with people of other parts. But what I'm really hearing from you is like the mental part of the turn on is important to you, like knowing who's on the other side, knowing that it's a chick, knowing that it's a person.
Again, this isn't about me like, hi, I want to figure out a words way to keep this label. It's just more like my understanding is this is what this means. I'm really big on classifying shit.
Great. Well, I think the thing that we can definitely agree on is that words can either help us get closer to people sexually, or they can make us way fucking far away if we don't take the time to like figure out what they actually mean together.
Yeah. Or in my situation with words can fuck things up because the more I talk, the less attracted someone is to me.
Or vice versa. Like, some people have the complete opposite experience. And for me, too, I'm like, if you only want to talk to me a certain amount, if I have to be quiet the whole time, then, like, go away. I want a dirty talk during sex. If that throws you off, like, we're not compatible people. And that's fine, too. Okay, so anything else about, like, your sexy work influencing your personal life over the past 9 years since you've had Man Whore or since you've done OnlyFans? Like, what has influenced you from a professional standpoint in your personal life?
Doing the OnlyFans helped me accept my body and love my body more and appreciate my body more. I've had a lifelong struggle with body image issues and some disordered eating history. When I got an OnlyFans, like the first month I made my rent.
Nice.
So I had, and then again, and then it was like, okay, I can hate my body if I want to, but I have to respect it because it's paying bills.
Amazing.
And you know, it definitely helped adjust my relationship with my body. And then I interviewed some other folks who look a variety of different ways, and they had similar experiences where it was like, yeah, doing OnlyFans helped me love and appreciate my belly. Or, you know, a friend of mine in the porn industry, this trans chick, she was like, it allowed me to see myself as the way I thought I was supposed to be. Mm. And because I got to see myself be hot as a woman finally. Or, you know, an older friend of mine who is a sex writer, she's like, I'm 50. And I'm like embracing how hot I still am at 50, as opposed to getting into that where like, oh, once you're over a certain age, you're as a woman, you're not hot anymore. And I got a variety of experiences like that, or, you know, whether it's race or whatever your thing you think makes you different and unsexy is.
Yeah.
Selling nudes can, not for everyone, but can help with that. It can help show you angle, literal and metaphorical angles of yourself you didn't know were there.
Fuck yes. What do you want to celebrate the most about your sexy work right now? We have your upcoming shows. Is there anything else?
Well, you know, my 9-year anniversary is next month. I've got Man Whore Con in August. That's an annual meetup. Well, once it used to be annual before we stopped doing some things for a while. So this is actually my first like big Man Whore Con back. But yeah, I have listeners from around the country and Canada. They come out to New York and they buy a weekend pass. We do a bunch of fun events, live podcasts, parties that kind of devolve into orgies, even though I did not tell them to do that.
Yes. But
I guess that's what happened when you put my listeners in a safe container together. I might be close to announcing it more formally when this comes out, but I'm putting out a book of dirty haikus.
Nice.
I don't think I've talked about this, so maybe this might be a sex stories exclusive. But yeah, I'm putting out a book of dirty haikus. So I do this thing on my Patreon. It's one of my original awards I used to do. And I've been doing, but it's one of the first ones I had where at a certain tier level, I mail you every month a thank you letter. And it is hand signed. I have notes for you, but also there's a dirty haiku.
Love.
I would do that every month for all my patrons at a certain level. So I've written about 100 of them for Patreon over all these years. So now I'm putting out a small collection, a chapbook of like 30 to 40 poems. It's called Caught Moments, Sex and Lust in 17 Syllables. And so if you're following me on social media, if you're listening to the podcast, if you're on my mailing list at manwhorepod.com, you'll get updated when that is more officially coming out. I'm right now just finalizing the final drafts of everything and making the cover and such. And I got to send it to the printer. Yeah. But yeah, that's the other thing that I'm excited about coming up. Yeah, that's going to be fun.
That's amazing. Now, looking to the future, how are you excited to like grow yourself even more in sexy work-related ways?
Well, in the sexy work-related ways, I'd love to figure out ways to mix the podcast and the OnlyFans a little more so I can do some partnered content. I was doing some partnered content. Then I met my now ex. We refer to her as Wallet Note Lady. It was her first foray into non-monogamy. It was a lot of stress. We don't got to get into it. But also the fact that like I would also sometimes try to hook up with people in a way for money. And then also I'm promoting it on social media became difficult, whether it was the social media posting or, you know, I mean, there were shoots where after the shoot, there's a stressful phone call or like I've canceled a shoot late one night because we were up for 2 hours at night with her stressing out about it.
Oh, fuck.
So I stopped doing it for forever. So I actually haven't, you know, my OnlyFans kind of is a clip store. It is not regularly updated at this moment, which is not a smart business thing for me to say right now, but I'm being vulnerable to whoever is still listening to me. But I have a lot of content on there. It's a free page. So you just basically pay for what you want to watch.
Yeah.
But then, so really what I've been doing the last year or so, year and a half has been the DM. So I'm just very active over there. Nice. So I do a lot of sexting and a lot of like video chats and phone chats and then and shooting custom videos. I just haven't been posting new stuff, but there's like a lot of stuff on there, okay, including partnered content. So what I would like to do is if I got back into regular partnered content, finding some sort of podcast integration element, like maybe I'm interviewing people before we fool around or
fuck
something
yes.
of that nature. So I'd like to do some of that if it makes sense and it comes up. I'm still doing the podcast. I am still chugging along towards 500 episodes, which will hit sometime this fall. I'll be at 500. I love what I do. I don't have to go into an office. I do stand up. I do a podcast. I write. I sell some dick pics. And like, I get to live the lifestyle that I want to live.
What a life.
The main goal was, I just want to do this. I want to talk into a microphone and try to make Wyo laugh. What I would like one day is I'd love to be, you know, something like a Netflix show would be great.
I've
got some ideas in the can. I've got a couple books in me. I think those will be progressing soon now that I'm ADHD medicated. But right now, like, I'm having fun, doing great.
Great. Also, you kind of are on your way to like bringing podcasts together with OnlyFans based on your fantasies that you talked about at the beginning. Like, I feel like if we get Billy going down on lots of ladies, there's like a million of versions of that that could be some great crossover content.
Yeah, if the top of my head situation, if this minoxidil starts working more, you know, then I think I would shoot more cunnilingus content. But there is something about like when I'm going down on somebody and there's a camera involved, I'm just like, oh God, what's this situation look like? Is that good? Is that okay?
Mm.
Well, I don't know if YouTube could see it, but there's a, you know, there's a spot on the top.
See, that
I don't know how hot.
This is when we need proper thrones to get all the proper angles. Because really, if we want that camera in there, getting the angles of your tongue and your mouth. I'll come be a camera girl if I'm ever in New York. I love.
Well, you tell me. Yeah. You tell me. Because like, look, I think there's not enough cunnilingus content.
I agree.
Out there. And the pussy eating videos I do have on my OnlyFans perform very well, but like I really don't know how to shoot them because usually it's just us, so you kind of have like one or two static shots. So we got to collaborate. You got to direct my next pussy eating video so that we got the right angles.
I've been doing more erotic content and I'm just now starting to talk about it, and it's literally my like from behind the camera, well also in front of the camera, but like I fucking love watching because I'm not a voyeur in the strict sense of like whatever, if we're getting into definitions, strictly voyeurism is kind of non-consensual. I'm a consensual voyeur. I love being an erotic photographer. Like, that's my favorite way to look and capture. So yeah. Okay. I'll hit you up when I'm in New York and we'll make it happen.
Please do.
Okay. I know you don't like to be in charge of things or authorities, but if you could wave a magic wand and teach everyone in the whole wide world something about sex, what would it be?
not all sex has to be this like escalator towards the hard dick into the vagina, because one, not all the sex is going to be with a vagina and a dick or only those two things, but also just like sex can be a lot of things. Let it be a lot of things. And then the other thing will be, don't get so weird if the dick isn't hard, whether you own the dick or the dick's in front of your face. Don't get, just let it be. Because sometimes my dick that's hard and soft, like during a blowjob, like kind of oscillates, but not for nothing, feels great the whole time.
I was gonna say, I love it.
You like a soft dick in your mouth?
I love, or like
a half hard, like.
I love it going back and forth. I love the grow. I love the relaxation.
It's not tiny. It's not smallest, but it's certainly not like even erect. Like you couldn't penetrate your pussy with it, but like you're like it's there's weight to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so like there's some volume going, some density. So
absolutely,
it feels great for me. But then the only reason I'm ever self-conscious if my dick isn't fully hard when I'm getting a blowjob is because I'm worried she's making a big deal about it in her head. If I know she likes it no matter what, or she understands that I'm feeling good no matter what, then I'm good.
Yeah.
But it's when someone's like, she stops and she's like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, it feels great. Don't you hear me moaning? Like,
Yeah.
So my one tip would be let go of your preconceptions of what sex looked like and just like do what's feeling good.
Fuck yes. That's where like patience and waiting can be the hottest. I'm not very patient in general, but for sex, for turn-ons, for drawing out hotness, I can be the most patient girl in the whole wide world. Okay, so do you want to end on a little fantasy brainstorm with me?
Sure.
Okay. Imagine that there's a creative space. It's part sex ed museum. It's part erotic gallery. It has a secret members-only dungeon down below, or whatever, sex basement, whatever. Could maybe also be a co-working space for OnlyFans bays during the day. I don't know. Imagine the whole place has educational workshops on the weeknights, play parties in the afternoons, on the weekends, so those of us who don't like staying up late can still have energy and fuck. And you, Billy, have been tasked with designing one of the rooms. It's the Billy Room. It can represent you. It can promote your brand. It could be like an experience that you want people to have when you go there and think of you. You have an unlimited budget. What's the Billy Room like?
Have you ever seen those like questionable Czechoslovakian glory hole room videos?
No, but I'm excited. Okay.
They're questionable to me because like they don't have the standard like, you know, those title slides in a porn where it like acknowledges like, hey, everyone here consents is of it, like, you know, those things. But that's because of American laws. I don't know what they're doing over there.
Right.
So I have to like suspend some disbelief sometimes. I go like, there's a production budget. Surely not everyone in this video is trafficked. I hope. But there'd be these rooms with like glory holes, but there'll be like normal ones. There'll be ones where there's like a pussy is up in the air raised at like face level.
Yeah.
So you can like eat out a random pussy. There's like bent over butts like sticking out of a hole, or like the pussy's out like at fucking angle. So it's all that. And then they usually have like the face pictures like taped on the wood next to it. Anyways, I would have a more complicated, diverse array of stuff like that for different stuff and purposes. So it would just be a stranger play room where like you can go look to do a thing to somebody, or you could go behind a wall or into the box or whatever the thing is. At Hacienda, they have this like one-way mirror thing that's really cool, where like it's this booth and you go in and you close the curtain, and inside it's just mirrors. You only see yourself, and there'll be like mirror panel and then a very, very thin like arm width space in between that and the next mirror panel, and there'll be like kind of a curtain where it's like, I'm trying to describe this for your podcast listeners, where it's split down the middle. So if you can stick your hand through the curtain, but it's like the separation is in the middle, right? If that makes sense. And then there's another mirror panel and then another space with this. And so it's that going around. So that was like, so people can reach in and touch and grope you or whatever. Like you could stick your dick in and see what happens. Or you could stick your dick out and see what happens, right? But outside of this booth, you can see in.
Hot.
So if you're in the booth, you actually don't know who is doing what to you or who's reaching in and feeling up your body. But from the outside, you can look in, you see like this person there, and then you're feeling them up or whatever it is you're doing. That's really, I think that's a really hot box. I actually need to like arrange a friend to like put me in there and then have them maybe see to get some people to do some stuff to me. But that's a good brainstorm for later.
That sounds fun.
So the Billy Room would be like a stranger themed room. Maybe there's like a space where it's like, here's a small closet. It's gonna be pitch black, and like I don't know. We got to work out some kinks. I know there's some nerds who are going like, but what about the consent negotiations?
No. In this space,
a fancy zone. Assume it. It got worked out.
Exactly.
We'll work out the details when this is a reality. But would be the like a sensory deprivation tank with another person.
Fuck yes, that would be hot as fuck. I love it. These are great brainstorms. And now I know what to make the Billy room like. Billy, any final thoughts about sex, sexiness, or your own sexiness?
Tomorrow I'm supposed to go watch some couple fuck from a bar. And I'm supposed to look across the street from the bar because their bedroom is directly across the street from some nice bar with big windows. And I'm supposed to go and have a drink and watch from there. And maybe they'll invite me over to cross the street and maybe not. But
I'm guessing you're not bringing binoculars. You just have to be like regular casual out in the world.
It doesn't seem like they're going to need that. I trust their process and their fantasy. And it seems like however the dimensions of wherever this is maybe it's like a small, a narrow street.
Great.
But they did not say, hey, you're going to need binoculars. So I won't bring binoculars.
Hot as fuck. Oh, my God. Lovers, go find Billy online. Billy, where do they find you online? Where should they stalk you?
Well, you can find me on social media. You know, just search my name. I show up. Billy Procida, Procida. Obviously, check the Man Whore podcast wherever you're listening to YO. I've got almost 500 episodes over there. You can go check out YO's episode if you want to start with that one. But also, I have, over the last few years, I have been developing a very large Discord community. It's a sex-positive community. You don't even have to like the man. You don't have to listen to the Man Whore podcast at all, but it's a sex-positive space if you feel like you need like-minded friends on the internet. Maybe you don't have a place to go to talk about kink, non-monogamy, dating, etc. So if you want to join the Champagne Room, it is free to join. If you want to come join, I think we're at over 600 members in there. You can go to manwhorepod.com/discord. Come on in, join the conversations. And Wyo, thanks for having me on.
Fuck yeah. Lovers, those links are in the description. Go follow them. Billy, thanks for helping me spread the love.